Here we are on beautiful Jones Street.
You saw Ted Jones.
Sponsored by Stockel Dreamery, the most delicious vegan cheese on the market. We got original smoked paprika and chili, garlic and herbs. And I'll tell you what, guys, this is the best vegan cheese you'll have. Don't forget the cheddar melt. Enjoy the episode.
Fellow college tennis player, comedian, we got a lot to talk about. So settle in. Good. Okay, first question I got to ask, your Instagram profile picture.
Hold on, my hair.
Your hair looks great. You look great.
Okay.
Your Instagram profile picture, though.
Yeah.
You're playing tennis.
I forgot that's my profile picture.
Yeah, but what is the gear you're wearing in it?
So I used to work in corporate America.
Yeah.
They did a charity event, and they asked me to, and they were called Paladina Healthcare.
Okay.
I used to work at DaVita.
Okay, I've heard of Palantir.
You've heard of Palantir?
Yeah. Is that like a branch? No.
Non-healthcare, different.
Okay.
So Paladina was owned by this healthcare company called DaVita. We're jumping in so hard.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was going to be tennis related, but go ahead.
I mean, they asked me to do a charity event.
Yeah.
And I played in Denver, and like, you know, altitude.
Yeah.
Right? The balls are flying and hitting the fences. And we played in this stupid charity event, and it was fun. Everyone had a blast, but I had to dress in a Paladina night outfit. Do you know what that is?
No, but it looked like you were wearing like a bulletproof suit.
Yeah, they made me wear it in like the first set.
I'm popping it up right here. Well, is that because you were so much better than everyone else, I imagine?
There was a one older fella at the company that thought he talked shit. And
isn't that annoying?
Always.
I imagine that before you got married, guys would probably say that to like try and endear you. Like,
maybe
hey,
they're not.
I can beat you in tennis. Right?
Always. Oh, I played high school tennis.
Okay, but being the number one junior in New England from Massachusetts, like yourself.
Oh, you did your research.
And then, yeah, wow. a little bit. Okay, yeah. And then going to Illinois, becoming a Fighting Illini, which I never understood that, like why they call themselves the Illini. And like, is there a mascot in Illinois?
So when I was a freshman, I think the chief just got removed.
The chief?
The chief.
Oh, okay, so that's probably one of the first...
He would come out and do like a dance.
Yeah. Oh, like a racist kind
and
of
then
chief
I think
dance.
When I joined, the basketball team had made the Final Four right before I joined. You know, like D.
2004-ish.
Brown and, who's the other guy? The guy who went to Utah Jazz.
Maybe we'll pop him up right here. Did he graduate in 2004? Carlos Boozer? No.
No, I'm drawing a blank, but... They were doing really well. Like, Illinois is getting a lot of...
Yeah, Illinois basketball, I remember, had a few years where they were really good.
They had the Final Four. Then I joined, and I think that was the year... Maybe they got, like, a lot of publicity, and they're like, you can't do this chief dance anymore. So, but I don't think Fighting Illini is still... There's no, like, chief mascot anymore.
Yeah. I don't think there even really is a mascot.
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I didn't do my... I should have probably looked that up.
No, but it was interesting that they just changed it to a plural of a state... Right? That's just like that's just the name of the college now?
Yeah, no, these are really good questions.
Yeah.
I should do some diligence.
Maybe a little bit of difficult questions. I came in hot. I apologize. All right. But I want to talk about your tennis career because for those of you who don't know, and you guys should know by now, this is episode freaking 429. I've talked about this at least like 350 times on the pod that I did play tennis at UConn. And getting to that point, I played tennis so much, and I only imagine how much you played being in Massachusetts yourself. Did you play tennis every single day as a junior and then getting to college?
I want to know, so you're UConn, right?
Yes.
And then, I don't know, what's your year?
I graduated in 2014.
Okay.
But I played tennis for 2.5 years on the team. I didn't play all 4 years.
Okay. Okay.
So, but my experience in college tennis was definitely a little bit different than yours because I imagine that being in Illinois, you guys had a good chance at winning the national championship a few times, correct? Or at least the Big Ten.
I mean, I would say when I was there, we were coasting around top 30 in the nation, top 20. We'd make NCAAs. We do well, you know, top three in the Big Ten. We had Northwestern, number one in the country, Michigan. Everyone was strong. Everyone was really strong. But yeah, I mean, we had some struggle years. This is like giving me a lot of PTSD.
Yeah,
so thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, it's also
the different kinds of coaches. It was crazy.
What do you mean two different kinds of coaches?
I had some like very like character coaches. Like they're
like Eastern European or what?
One Nepalese.
Okay.
Coach
Nepal.
Nepal. Shoot. I should know this, right? This is embarrassing. I'm embarrassed.
No, I feel like they didn't know either. Yeah, Nepalese, yeah, Nepal. Like, yeah. Okay. And Nepal, that's where they have Mount Kilimanjaro, right? We should know this.
No, yeah.
Or yes. Is it K2?
Yep.
Just yeah, right. It's one of those. All right, we'll pop it up right here. Yep. Whichever mountain that was in Nepal.
The Himalayas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Large mountains.
Okay. So, yeah, you probably had crazy coaches. Yeah.
Not as crazy because we were, for the most part, I don't want to say bottom of the barrel in Division One, but like once COVID came around, they cut the men's tennis team. And this was obviously a good amount of years after Title IX came into play, right, where women's sports would get more scholarships than men, but we didn't have any scholarships on the men's team.
Okay.
So yeah, once COVID came around, they cut the team because we were just costing the school money. But okay. Yeah, we had some.
Well, you guys are Big East, right?
Yeah, yeah, we had some coaches that were crazy, but like nobody from, like, no real foreign coaches that were playing tennis every day and then had a crazy Russian tennis dad or something like that.
Yeah, there was my class, it was me who got recruited and then a Russian girl. Okay, so you know how we had to take the SATs and what is it, the GRE? They have to take like the TOEFL exam.
That's a Russian exam?
Like international.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't go so well.
For her?
For her. I never met her, but she wasn't able to come play.
No way.
I just thought of this right now.
So you guys were on the same recruiting trip?
Recruiting class. She was supposed to be my other freshman.
So you had met her?
No. We didn't go on a recruiting trip together, uh-huh, but she was like just, maybe she went on a different weekend.
Yeah.
And then, but she was supposed to be in my class. Like I would have met her, you know, the day we arrived for training. She didn't show up. So I was the only freshman, which in that, it was kind of tough because you kind of want to like ride those crazy waves where your ass is just being, you're waking up, you're starting those 6 a.m.
And you have like her as a roommate.
Right. I had a soccer roommate.
Oh, okay.
Which was cool.
Right. Yeah.
So, which was fun. We were all, they put the athletes together, but.
Did you start right away when you went to Illinois?
What do you mean start?
Like, did you play in the top 6 in the lineup and then play doubles as well?
Yep.
Getting to college, what was your experience like playing tennis in New England? Like, what did your schedule look like in middle school and then high school and getting recruited to Illinois?
My parents who immigrated from India, so they, sports was kind of foreign to them. So they put me in everything. My mom's like, I grew up in a really white town, Concord, Mass. And my mom basically was like, you're going to do what all the white kids do. You're going to ski. You're going to play tennis. You're going to play soccer. So I did everything. I loved
sports. The white kids were playing tennis in Concord?
Oh my God. I mean, tennis is a white sport, right?
Yeah, that's very true. But I figured in Massachusetts, maybe they'd be playing more like basketball, like volleyball type.
No, you got to look. Concord's like where the American Revolutionary War started.
Ah, Boston Tea Party?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You making me do like history stuff.
This is unlike me too. My bad. Doing like history and stuff. Like,
you're making me think I'm not smart. So it's, yeah. So it was just, my brother was very, very smart, very good at science and math, older brother. And they were like, she's okay at school.
Where did he go to college?
Johns Hopkins.
Ooh.
Biomedical
engineer.
He's
a doctor. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. No, he's not a doctor today.
Isn't that funny too? It's called Johns Hopkins. Like they can't even just name him John. It's like multiple Johns.
It's Maryland. Yeah. It's intriguing.
Yeah. I don't understand that. Yeah. And then you went to Fighting Illini. It was like you two went to weird school names.
Yeah.
Okay. But your parents threw you in sports and you became really good at tennis on a whim.
I mean, I think it just, it clicked.
When did you start playing like 3 or 4 days a week and then the coaches realized that you should play more?
I think I played, okay, so this is how I can track it, is the USTA tournaments, which you know you played. I think I played 1-10 and under, and I played, I'm Shivani Dave. I played a Siobhan Finnegan. That was my first match at Longfellow Tennis Club in Dorchester, Boston.
Oh
yeah. Okay. Siobhan and Shivani. Yeah. Fun fact, I guess, whatever. But so I played 1-10 under, then you play all the juniors. But I think I was still playing kind of the other sports. And my parents were like, okay, my brother was a big like footer in sports. She's a little bit, I think that's gonna be better for you guys.
How much older was he than you?
7 years older.
Oh, okay.
He had gone through, he had started tennis late, but he was like, oh, if you want her to like, if she likes it, you got to start her a little early, as you know.
That must have been super helpful too.
Very helpful.
Because I remember when Yeah, when I had my struggles in tennis, just mentally and like being like, oh, I wish I started earlier. I was like 16 or 17 years old. And yes, my sisters are 5 years younger than me and, you know, six and a half years younger than me. So I was like, all right, if these 10 and 11 year olds can really start playing, they could be good. They're athletic enough, you
and
know,
your
if they wanted
played.
It. No, they never really did. But I can imagine like if they really put their mind to it, they probably could have been very good.
Yeah. I mean, and so he was a big part of it. Cause he was like driving him. He was like 17 year old, drive himself to a USTA tournament. What a struggle, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And I was lucky cause my parents got involved, but you know, they're like, oh, she's not that good at math. So we need to make sure she's good at something else.
Interesting.
Right. Like they sacrifice.
Right.
A lot.
But that's interesting. They didn't like push you towards another school subject. They just pushed
or
you
whatever,
towards athletics.
Like I just wasn't that, I wasn't that into school. I didn't like it as much.
But
you know?
Did you get a full ride to Illinois?
I did. Yep.
That's crazy.
But it's, so I don't know. You play all the tournaments. I love the coach I had in high school, towards the end of middle school, high school. You know how it goes. Did you play high school? But you play high school. So my coach, my private coach encouraged me to play high school. So he's like, you know what it's like to be on a team. So he said, play high school, but also do the other.
Were there girls who were good that attended other high schools in your area that you could actually play against and it was competitive?
Once you got to like states, like finals, like so that's when I would run into them. And
because I grew up in New York City, that didn't exist. Like I was probably top three in Manhattan for years. No, I was the first kid and my coach. We were the first people to play in that indoor stadium. First people to hit on those courts as soon as they were done painting it. I love him. He's great.
Smartless, yeah.
I never like played in the John McEnroe Tennis Academy, but I played at Randall's Island before it was known as the John McEnroe Tennis Academy. But I love that guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess you run through. Thank you for me. You're making me really recollect my childhood. I didn't know what I was getting myself into.
Yeah. Well, you knew we were going to talk about tennis.
Yes. No, that's true.
Yes.
That's true.
Because I was fascinated as soon as I saw your profile picture and I was like, why are you wearing a bulletproof vest?
I know. I should probably change
And then, no, I think it's cool. And then we started talking about tennis and I found out you played at Illinois. And then there's another comedian who's also played at Illinois, Michael Costa. And there's a very small circle of us tennis players who played college tennis, but it makes sense. You know, you're by yourself out there. Everything is reliant on you if you win or lose. And it's kind of like comedy. You know, you could be like, oh, the crowd was bad, but maybe your set wasn't as good or you weren't hitting the ball as well. You weren't hitting the punch lines as well. So I think that there are so many similarities in that, but was there a period of time where you thought you maybe wanted to go pro when you were like 13, 14, 15 or what did that
A lot
look
of people
like?
Asked. I don't think I was on that trajectory. You know, I feel like it just kind of, you have to have that almost like if you're going to go play college tennis, already know that.
Yeah.
Like the men, as you know, like the Fighting Line of men's team were number one in the country.
Was it Kevin Anderson days?
Yeah. So Kevin Anderson was 2 years or a year ahead of me.
He won the US Open. Or he made the finals, excuse me, of the U.S. Open.
Final,
and it was
Wimbledon
seven
or,
in the world, Kevin Anderson, big South African guy.
Yeah, so he dropped out junior year. I mean, made a good, solid decision. And yeah, so I think those guys went in knowing they wanted to play with Craig Tiley, who runs the Australian Open tournament.
Was he the head coach at the time?
He was, and then now it's Brad Dancer.
Okay.
I think he's still the coach. But those got a little different. Like they're coming in, like, let me get some training under my grounds and maybe I'll go pro. Let me win NCAAs. Let me be all American. And then some of them would drop out. So,
yeah.
And then go play.
It's interesting how some of those schools in those climates really attract top tennis players. Like now Ohio State is number one in the country in men's. And you have schools like Illinois who they've been great for forever. Now Harvard is like number six in the country. I went
or women's?
Yeah. And the men's.
Okay, because on the women's, they were.
I
always felt really good. We would go play Boston.
Yeah.
I'm from Boston.
Right? BU.
Yeah. We would go. We always, for some reason, had some invitational off season. We'd go play BC and Harvard.
Okay.
You know, and I didn't, and I would go home and like we would crush them.
Yeah.
And it was like really satisying.
Right.
Because you know who Harvard thinks
they
should.
Yeah, of course.
But. It was like
I went to the ITA Indoor National Championships like 2 weeks ago at the US Open and I was just like interviewing guys.
Oh, cool.
Like talking with them and I was talking with guys from South Carolina. They're number two in the country. Texas, number five. Texas A&M, schools like that, USC, and watching these guys play, it's insane how good they are and like how they're really not missing any balls. And maybe one of them is going to be top 300, 400 in the world. Tennis right. is such a competitive sport. But yeah. did you ever go to Florida or go to Europe and train for an extended period of time? Or you kind of just had like a maybe normal childhood playing tennis?
Like, I think we were, my parents were learning as we went, learned a little through my brother's experience, but I didn't. Oh, I trained in New England. I'd play all the, you know, when you play in New England, you played part of what, East?
Eastern, like, yeah.
To make the, like, the national tournaments, you'd have to be, like, number one in New England to yeah. get endorsed, right? Yes. So, like, if I wanted to go play Super Nationals or stuff like that.
Oh, the Super Nats.
I know, super stressful.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yeah. And you would have to be, so, no, I didn't. I had friends who went and played down at
like Voluntary,
Saddlebrook, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That dabbled with it. I mean,
and you never wanted to go down there?
Again, that was like that balance. I think my parents still were like, you're going to go and still take school pretty seriously. That was like, they were like, you're still going to, like, even when I got to college, my dad's like, all right, you're going to major in finance. And I did. I ended up like studying finance. I got a finance job and all that stuff. So it was still a balance of like.
But what were you around top 50 in the country?
Yeah.
It's so interesting though, because I remember being surrounded by so many kids in the East. Like I, at my highest, was probably like 20 or 25 in the East around there. And there were kids who were maybe top 7, top 5 in the East that were pursuing a professional career, trying to really like go and make it, training with guys down in Florida who were 400, 500 yeah. in the world. And it's so different to hear your point of view and how you kind of approach the game of tennis. And you were like, well, yeah, you know, you're going to play tennis at a very high level, but like you didn't ever really want to go pro.
I don't know. I almost like don't even remember being like, oh, you're going to play college tennis. It was like, you're just going to keep, I enjoy competing. You know this, like you have to be competitive. You like want, you, do you remember the teammates you had where some were like really good in practice? Great at practicing. Yeah. Match day.
That was like me though. Oh, I was so good at practice. It was bad. Like I was beating everyone in practice. And then like game day came and I was just so nervous, so tight. I was finishing strokes here. It just wasn't the same.
I probably was like the one who could have grinded it out better in practice, but I love match day.
Yeah.
I loved competing. I love the matches. I just, like you can see me, I'm not like big. Like I could, you know, people were saying, oh, how do you hit the tennis ball? Like you acceleration. It's tough, you know, but I was still small.
Uh-huh.
So I wasn't like, I don't know. I didn't have like the huge upper body strength and serve. My dad used to give me shit. He's like, you're not eating proper breakfast. And he was giving lecture me so much. He was very intense.
Okay.
My dad was very intense when it came to once tennis got to a level.
Yeah.
He's like, you now, like it was just, we have stories like, in the car, having choked on it, if I choked in a tennis match, calling me like Nervous Nelly. And I'm like, me just like.
Did this affect your relationship with your dad for a period of time?
I mean, we would just battle, fight it out.
Yeah.
And then I was very close to my dad.
Okay.
So they were very like supportive and into it. He mellowed down once I got into college. You know, they're coming and it was just a treat for them to visit, you know.
Right. And Illinois. He did a job. You know, his daughter got a full ride to Illinois.
Well, my dad, unfortunately passed in October and
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thank you. And he was 81, so he's a little older. Like I have an older brother, right? So he's a little older for my age. A lot of their parents are like have little younger parents. And so, but he got to retire when I got the full ride. So that's something like, that's what hits me. And I feel really good about that. I think that's what kind of, and I remember signing that little national letter of intent.
With your little hat on.
They were very happy. They took a picture. Yeah.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. So I think for them, it was like in the Indian community in New England, this was kind of like not that known, not that common. Yeah. It's like, I don't know how many Indian, I mean, I guess you're a little bit younger than me just by a few years, but just kind of growing up, I never really saw a lot of Indian female tennis players. So it just wasn't.
Sansa Mirza is like the only one.
Yeah, in India. She's in India.
Yeah,
we're talking about like the U.S. I mean, so for it wasn't I would say that credit to my parents, a lot of Indian parents are pushing their kids in the school and they're like, okay. And I guess it's my brother who's like, listen, she's all right at school.
There's another route.
She doesn't love it. Push her in sports. I liked playing catch. I played catch with my dad, like
football or baseball,
just whatever. Like in the backyard. I loved it. They had a very good social community. He would leave the party. I'd be lingering around and he'd just play catch with me in the hallway. I loved, so hand eye, you know, so just, yeah. I love playing sports today. I'll throw a football. I love it.
Do you play in any leagues in the city? Like women's leagues? No. Or in any sport. You say you like playing sports.
You know, like in softball, they'll be like, here, can you be our like token woman so we can field the team?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then they put me in right field. I'm like, I can do better than that.
At least put me in left or center.
I can catch. Yeah. Come on.
What was your biggest win in tennis, if you remember?
I think pre-college, you have your sectional tournament and I won it. Like 16 and unders. So that was a big deal at Yale.
Okay.
Yeah, you know where they play Pilot Pen?
Yeah. I play there a few times.
Yeah, so the New England sectional was like so stressful. Everyone comes together in June and May every year, and it's so political. And I don't know about you, but I used to just the tournaments and the social anxiety of like having to run into everyone. Maybe you enjoyed it. I didn't love it.
No, I didn't.
I didn't like it. You have those snooty parents and... gosh, so I just remember being able to just like hunker down and win, and it wasn't really,
yeah,
you just like that. That's what's so great about sports. It's just like that's what was the job, just do your job and win.
Yeah, it's got to be so different nowadays being in those sectional tournaments with all the social media, and you know, you're able to kind of keep track on everyone so much more intensely. Like this new UTR system, which I don't really even know much about it. Basically, if you're like a top college player, like these guys who play at South Carolina and they're number 4, 5, and 6 in the lineup, their UTR is like 11.15. And then if you're 400 in the world, your UTR is like 14. And then I guess if you're Djokovic, your UTR is, around 20. I'm not really even sure how they kind of break everything down, but there's a new system where you now know how, instead of, because it used to be so basic where it was just like, oh, yeah, I'm a 4.0 player. I'm a 4.5. And then it kind of ended at that time. But now I think they have like a more
roundabout
system. Yeah. It's such an intense sport. And I would think that people should, I would encourage team sports more. You know, just having that more, like, yeah, the college tennis environment is great, but it's going to take you 9 years to get there, you know, from the age of 9 to 18, you're really on your own.
I kind of wish I had golfed. Because as a female golfer, how open is that? Well, as soon as I was done with college and I was burnt out and I decided to start golfing. Are you a golfer?
A little bit. My mom's been trying to encourage me to play. Her and her boyfriend have been playing, I'd say like 200 times a year the past 5 years, probably something like that. Like they'll go out and then they'll just golf for a week straight. They just got back from a golfing trip.
Oh, that sounds
like an insane amount of golf.
Yeah. So I got into that and I was like, oh, I'll just do the LPGA real quick. And obviously not. It's so naive and ignorant.
When did you start playing?
Golf? No, I just golfed because I lived in California for a little while. So it's so easy to golf. Like I would play 18 on Saturday, 18 on Sunday. Oh, I loved it.
Sometimes that's a little bit too long for me, you know? I'll get to 12 and I'll be like, I'm thirsty.
I did lessons. I would go to my job and there was a golfing, there was a range right down the street. So I'd finish my job and then go and chip.
Wow, all right.
But you know how it goes. Like you can get with... like the hand eye that we have.
Yeah.
You can get really good really fast. Uh-huh. And then you got to figure the shit out.
It's a little bit like comedy too. It's like 2 steps forward, 1 step back.
Yeah, possibly. You know what I mean? Or you got to
be out there.
You can't.
You got to be in the chipping range. Like you said.
Constantly. And okay, you can't just not practice.
I want to also talk about, let's smoothly transition to your comedy career. Mm. Okay. So you and I met, I think like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. And we hit it off. And you have recently opened for Dave Attell. And where did you meet Dave? And then how did you get involved in the comedy atmosphere, stratosphere?
Him and I met just at the Cellar, just like hanging out outside. You know, gave us a proper introduction. It was Matt Richards, who's a comp, who's very funny. And then we just started chatting it up, Attell and I, and it kind of... He's a really nice guy, really, obviously big fan. I'm sure as a lot of comics are. So yeah, he's just super fun to chat. I feel like we barely chatted about comedy, talking a lot about
college tennis and
family and the corporate America world.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking about my dad a little bit and stuff like that. Because my dad had a neurodegenerative disease towards the end. So caregiving is tough. So we're just chatting about that stuff. And that, I guess, kind of leads to the next thing, you know?
How did your parents feel about you diving into comedy?
It's like, again, another foreign world. I was writing before stand-up. I was writing like screenplays in San Francisco about how miserable I was in the corporate world. And, I had gone to a 10-year reunion in Boston.
And a high school or
high
college?
High school.
Okay. And what was that, Concord High School?
Concord Carla High School.
Ooh, that's close. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And kind of inspired a screenplay idea.
And you didn't like that reunion?
It was interesting. It inspired me to like, I had an idea. So I was like.
So what were you at that time? 10 years, you were 28? 27?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it was fun, I guess. It's, again, weird. Like, it was all right. It was fine. I got to reconnect with some folks. And then some folks actually that I now get, I'm so happy I did, because we were so close in high school. Now we're hanging out in New York City, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Because you know how it is. Like, I don't know how, like, I come from the world of, like, you've hung out with, like, athletes. You probably are friends from home. I don't know how many of them you keep around, but then when you get into the comedy world, I don't know if all your friends are comics. It's like a nice balance to have a mix of friends. I don't know if you only like hang out with comics, but.
Yeah. Well, I feel like every 2 or 3 years, it's like I have a new circle of people. It feels like,
especially, you know, in New York,
yeah, definitely.
I don't know. I forgot what your original question
was. I was asking how your parents feel about you jumping into the comedy.
Yeah, supportive, I think. My dad was a little bit sick towards the end, so he was, I think, would have been freaking out at all the, like, me popping around late night spots. He was very, very protective. He'd be like, he would hear something on the news about Central Park and think that classic. I was always in Central Park, right?
Like running in Central Park at
midnight.
Like,
you're in New York City. I could be in Lower East Side and be like, well, this thing happened in Central Park, so. You worried a lot, but I think but my mom, I joke about her on stage. She's supportive. She comes to shows. They're like, what's this? Again, another like weird world to them that it's not like in their community. They know a lot of people are stand-up comedians.
You know what I mean? Do your mom still live in New England?
Mm-hmm. Same home I grew up in.
Nice.
So I go home a lot. Yeah.
What kind of stuff does your brother research?
So my brother,
yeah,
biomedical engineer turned like investment banker, didn't want to go to med school.
Yeah.
Took the MCAT, did very well.
And he didn't go.
And he didn't want to go. He's kind of similar. We're cut from a sim cloth where we just kind of kept rebelling against.
But how long did he study for that? Because people study for the MCAT for what, like 9 months?
I don't know, he's very good at that. Like he's naturally very good at those like standardized tests.
Yeah, like a 35 or whatever they rated out of.
Yeah, right. And he easily could have gone and then banking, and then he went into more like healthcare side. That's kind of what motivated me. My first job out of college was Johnson & Johnson, and then so I just was like, oh, I guess I'll just go into healthcare like my brother did. And then he actually like almost started a music business, because he also like goes into the studio and he's a lyricist and raps on the side.
No way. Yeah, let's go. Yeah, yeah. Freestyle a little bit.
Yeah. So it's kind of like we both have like had that artist itch that we never tapped into. But
well, what do you mean?
I didn't do stand up in college. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I was studying like finance, Fin 321, you know, like it was so
Is that the highest level?
Probably goes a little bit higher. It's just the one I remember.
Fin 321. What kind of stuff were you learning in Fin 321? Things that you can actually compare to today?
I honestly don't remember.
Classic college student, right? No, remember anything that we
I just went learned. To J&J, went to their finance. I traveled. And I
you were like traveling all over the world for them?
Yeah, I went to Tokyo. I got to. That was fun. I don't know. It's like... It's good. This is interesting. Thank you so much for the reflection.
I'm like your therapist now.
Yeah, no, I feel like I'm this is a lot. Yeah.
Well, I think you've done so much in your life that unless you sit down and talk about it on a podcast, it's really hard to reflect and remember.
Yeah,
you know,
we're like, really good at compartmentalizing.
Yeah.
I'm so good at it.
And especially since like the only time it would really ever come up is maybe even on stage when you're like doing a riff or something. Somebody will say something and you'll be, oh my, that triggers this part. Like when I was in eighth grade and I remember I hit that tennis ball on the line and the girl called it out. And then my dad was freaking out. The two dads were having an argument up there, you know, like in the glass.
No, seriously. And also like me losing the, you know, you split sets and me losing the second set, you know, choking, pacing. Did you have were your parents tough on you?
There was probably like a year and a half, 2 years where my dad was putting a lot of financial resources in my tennis career and I wasn't winning. And I think that's when he got like really, annoyed at me just cause he was like, you know, I was playing 4 or 5 times a week. I had the fitness trainer.
Yeah.
I had like a running trainer and
in
like
high school.
Yeah.
I didn't do enough fitness in high school.
I was homeschooled for ninth grade.
Oh.
So I had a private tutor. Like there was so much that my parents put into my tennis game. My mom was driving me to 6 a.m. practice at 5:30 in the morning in Long Island City. So
it must have been tough in New York City because.
Yeah, well,
it's a little easier in the suburbs.
We had to look for court time, you know, and it was not as expensive at 6 a.m. to 7:30 a.m.
And did you love your coach?
No.
No. I loved my high school. I loved my private Gardner and still coaches today. Now he comes to my comedy shows.
Oh, let's go. Does he teach like a Concord tennis club or what's the tennis club you play?
He taught all over New England and then just he runs. Did you ever do Nike tennis camps?
Yes.
So I would every summer. Okay. Every summer I used to go to the Dartmouth tennis camp and Nike tennis camp and Amherst College.
Okay.
And he runs all those. He's like, those are his babies. Like, I mean, that guy, that can be your
kid. They still have those?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I know. I think the pandemic kind of hurt them a little bit, but yeah, they got back and running. And that's where I remember my brother was like a counselor there, 7 years older. And he's like, great, my little sister is going to come. She's like 10 and I look like a scrawny little Indian boy. And he was just, I wasn't a good look for him. You know, when he's like at his prime in high school, crushing it, a lot cooler. And he's like, great, she's coming. But that was like where I got exposed, you know, 10, 11, got to go to, you stay in a dorm overnight camp.
Yeah, of course.
It was fun, yeah.
I remember at that time I was taking ADD medicine when I went to the Nike tennis camp. And there was a time where, I mean, I stayed there for 2 weeks and every morning it was like some counselor's job, probably a guy like your brother, to be honest. When I was like 11 or 12, the 18-year-old had to give me my ADD medicine.
Right.
And I remember one day I got it and I like just threw it on the side, like near the grass. And then later, like he found it. The counselor found it and he was like, Ted, why are you not taking your ADD medicine? I was like, it just makes me feel like a zombie. I don't want to take it. So I ended up taking it for like, you know, 3 or 4 years and I hated it. Just that was a side note. I guess we're talking about, like pharmaceuticals.
I had some teammates who were taking, were prescribed Adderall in college.
There's...
And then they would like give it to people who wanted it to study. I was like, no, my teammate, you need it. Yeah, you should take it. Don't give it off.
Yeah. I needed it to study because like I was not passionate at all about school. And if it were up to me, I wouldn't have studied at all. But when I took this particular drug, if it was Concerta, Adderall at a time, I could lock in for 2.5 hours, enough for me to get a C+ or B-. But that really did, scarily enough to say it, it helped me get through high school and college, which is bizarre.
You genuinely had
ADD
or ADHD.
A little bit of both. I think they said ADD, not HD. But and then there are people who now I know just like will take it. I think it's fun. I'm like, that is not fun.
For
not
someone
for me,
who
at
genuinely
least.
Needs it.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, that makes sense.
Bizarre.
No, I never took it.
You never tried it?
No, I never have. I should have taken it. I would have done better in school.
Yeah, yeah, you would have. I think it probably gives everyone a little bit of a superpower, like the limitless pill.
I loved going to the library, like romanticized the library, but did I really study well there?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It was like a social scene.
Kind of, or I just.
There were sometimes I liked
going
there.
It's a little lonely. Tennis is stand-up's a little lonely, but you tap into it. It's kind of like our personalities a little bit. So I just enjoyed like going to the library, but I was like, what did you accomplish today? It wasn't very productive. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's nice to get out and not be in your 100 square foot room with like a roommate hanging out over there. Do you have any friends that you still stay in contact with from college tennis or no?
I moved around so much. A lot of them were probably stayed in Illinois, probably early on when I first graduated. Then I moved to Jersey for J&J, and then I moved to California. I mean, my husband's from Illinois. He went to Illinois. I met him in college.
Oh, okay, nice.
He wasn't on. He wasn't on the tennis team, obviously. But
was he an athlete or no?
No. I just did some show. I did a show in Chicago. I reconnected a couple there. They came. You know, I don't know how you feel when family and friends come to shows.
I don't mind it.
Yeah.
I think it's fine.
Yeah.
I know that some people really don't like it. It makes them uncomfortable. But I think, like, it's part of the game.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you are successful enough or you do it long enough, I mean, people are going to see it.
Right. You know? Right. So, yeah. So, it's, yeah. So, trying to think, like, a lot of the teammates have, some of them went to go coach college tennis. It was never a path I was going to do. I remember I never wanted to really go down that path.
It's a tough path.
Yeah. I knew I was ready to kind of take a break from tennis. I was very burnt by the end.
Where were some of the places that your teammates went to coach? Were they like assistant coaches or head coaches?
One teammate actually is playing pickleball professionally.
What's she ranked?
I don't know. But we randomly message, actually, because she's like, you're doing stand-up, you're doing pickleball. And you might know him. She's married to Ryler DeHart, Megan Fudge. So he played at Illinois. He went pro for a little bit. They're just like doing pickleball hard.
He's playing pickleball too?
Mm-hmm.
Have you played pickleball?
Yeah.
I haven't played yet.
No?
Should we do something?
Anti though and do it still?
Yeah, I'd do a sketch on it. No, but I feel like
no, and we can. I mean, it would be fun to try. It would be fun to. I haven't played in New York, so
yeah, I have not played once.
Not once.
No, it's actually a little crazy, I will say. And when did pickleball? When was it invented? Like 2019.
I mean, it was
not so long ago.
People out in California were turning courts into pickleball.
Oh my gosh. I remember
my mother-in-law was starting pretty early.
right. Yeah. The older generation definitely got into it first. And in neighborhoods in San Francisco, I remember I've seen news stories where people are like, those damn pickleball courts outside my window at 7 a.m. Did you live close to pickleball courts? Or when did you move to New York from San Francisco?
I've been in New York. No, I moved from San Francisco. I went Illinois, New Jersey, L.A., SF, Boston, New York.
Whoa. A lot of major hubs, except for maybe Jersey, but yeah.
Yeah, which is like, I just kept taking the NJ Transit up to New York. Yeah. So, checking out shows at Stress Factory.
Vinny Brand.
I remember seeing like Charlie Murphy, Greg Robinson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was fun. I lived around the corner from there.
That's funny.
Yeah. I've lived in New York, 5 years? You want to resign their lease? I'm going to stick it out another year. No, I love New York. I actually thought I would live in New York way earlier. Yeah, I'm a big fan. Your city.
Yeah, yeah. We appreciate it. We appreciate having you. San Francisco, though.
Mm-hmm.
How was it when you were living there? And what year was that?
So I lived there, I'm so bad with years. Up until 2017, probably I was there for 4 years. So Silicon Valley, all that stuff is just hopping. All these like health tech, I was in still healthcare, all these health tech startups are starting to get crazy. Theranos, do you remember Elizabeth Holmes?
Of course.
That world was something that I kind of was rubbing shoulders with because she was all the hype.
Did you ever want to work there?
I was never like, I remember talking to a company that was interviewing me while I was working at DaVita that wanted to compete with Theranos. And they were raising, they're doing their series, you're trying to raise money.
Were they kind of doing the same thing? Like blood sample tests? Yeah, like, hey,
201, if you do a one blood drop, we'll give you 201 results, as opposed to hers were like 200, whatever it was.
Okay. And that machine.
Obviously, and it was, you know, her demos didn't work. But, she was like all the positive hype. She had signed the deal with Walgreens. Everything.
Yeah, and watch the documentary.
Yes, and anything you could watch. The Amanda Seyfried thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you read the book, Hulu, the book's really good. The guy who, like, you know, leaked the whole story, the Wall Street guy. And then it's crazy what's happened now. So, and then I wanted to be closer to home. I had been moving around, and after that, I joined a health tech startup in Boston.
But have you been back to San Francisco since 2017?
When we left, I was going back a lot. I was still visiting.
Why was that? Do you have friends or family there? Or?
A lot of friends, family. I have family in San Jose.
Okay.
My husband's job was taking him back there, quarterly, and we just loved, we kind of missed California, so we'd go back there. I traveled a lot for work, so it was easy for me to pop back there.
Do you still miss California?
I do. I think maybe I miss LA more, just because of the weather.
Just because of the weather, though.
This weather's been so shitty.
You know, it hasn't been that cold, though, to be honest.
But Saturday was terrible.
Yeah, and yesterday was pretty windy. Yeah. Today is beautiful.
Today is, and tomorrow will be, too. And then it'll be shit again, probably. Uh-huh. But it's, I miss the weather.
You were probably also a big driver, too, in, like, high school. And then being in Illinois, you were always driving places, right?
I did have a car. Like, freshmen didn't really have cars. I had one.
Okay.
Because we were driving to practice. But... yeah, I drove, I commuted a lot in SF and LA for my job, and then driving wise, and then Boston's Boston. So
did you do comedy in Boston?
No. I mean, not when I lived there. No. No, I started here. So, Boston, but I will go back and do shows when I go visit, cause I visit a lot to help with family stuff.
Do you ever see yourself going back to LA or no?
I don't know. I would have to be for a good reason.
Yeah.
You know? Have you lived there?
No, I've been there a number of times. I don't like it.
There's another sport out there. Yeah, you know, and it depends where, because LA, there's so many different hubs. But another sport out there I got into. And again, I was like, oh, I'm going to try to go pro. But
Paddle.
On Venice Beach.
I haven't done that either.
Yeah, that is even more interesting because it's a deflated tennis ball. They got right.
In the cage.
Mini tennis court. The one in Venice Beach on the beach, you don't use the fence, but the country club sport, paddle tennis, does use the fence.
Yeah, isn't that
which
weird?
One? That one's hard for me.
That's weird that it's like the same name, paddle and paddle tennis, or it's called paddle, right?
Yeah, right.
Weird.
And you just go to Venice Beach, everyone's drinking Tecates and just playing paddle.
What's a Tecate?
You know what a Tecate is.
No, what is it?
A beer.
Oh.
You know what a Tecate is.
No, maybe I've seen it. I've seen the label, but I don't know if I've ever pronounced it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've never pronounced it. And it has like the weird, is it like a guy on it? Not a guy, but like a bird type thing.
I don't know. I'm not sure, but you should drink a Tecate.
Yeah, maybe. You know, I haven't really drinking that much. I mean, college, I really drank so much. I don't know how, did the tennis team at a college drink a lot?
48 hour rule, did you have that?
Yes.
Yes.
We had the 48
hour rule. So I think you become masters of...
before the match, yeah.
Yeah, and which is, makes sense.
It's reasonable. I think like, it could have been a 72, but yeah, 48 hours is fine.
Right, and I think we all like, and it's, I remember though, like we would go, so you're not really partying on the weekends, like most college students. During the season, so we're going out hard on a Tuesday night, and in Champaign, Illinois, anyone who's been to like the bars there are 19 and up,
and still
so, I don't know if still, but like they were there. So we, if you got one, you know, you could get like a. I had an older female cousin who went to U of I, and I was like, what are you 17 or 18 when you go to college? So I had to use like a fake. For my freshman year.
And it said you were 19?
Yeah, it said I was like 20 or 21 or something.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and it worked and it was fun because I didn't have to go to all the like douchey frat parties.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Get the beer, the foamy beer.
Yeah.
There was really never a stigma behind drinking in college as much as there was smoking weed because, you know, smoking weed is obviously illegal for such a long period of time. And then Illinois...
We were drug tested, were you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were drug tested. And
I remember there were... There was a specific night that everybody was going out and like partying and kids showed up still drunk to the drug test. And like, it was fine. Like coaches were laughing about it.
Mm.
But if you like smoked weed on a Wednesday or something on your couch, they'd be so concerned. And it's so weird, especially since like how openly athletes talk about smoking pot nowadays. You know, people talk, about, especially, you know, football players, they'll talk about doing it on a Monday or Tuesday and it helps their body recover. And alcohol seems to, you know, do the opposite. So I wonder if there's going to be just a full switch to where the NCAA stops even testing for
Did you
marijuana.
Get into weed? I never got into weed.
Yeah, this is the longest. Well, but this is the longest I've gone since high school, not smoking weed. I'm on day like 35.
Are
right
you
now.
Going, you're just trying to cut?
I don't know. My dreams are out of control, though.
Right now?
No.
So are you sober right now?
Yeah.
Just drinking and weed all
the time. And I'm vegan.
Wow.
So I got a lot going on.
Yeah, you seem healthy.
Yeah, but there was a period of time where I really wasn't. I was eating McDonald's. I was probably like 25 pounds heavier than I was. I had like a lot of ailments in my body, like torn labrum, groin, back. hamstring. And yeah, I guess I kind of switched. I had very invasive jaw surgery. You can see my scar here. I had TMJ. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of that. No. It's like where you have one of your like bones in your jaw grow further out on one side than the other. So they basically just like detach my bottom portion of my jaw from my face. And for like 6 months, I couldn't chew foods. So I was eating fruits, anything soft, avocado, rice. And that's when I made the transition to going fully vegan. This was like 4.5 years ago.
How do you, so a huge change in my life. You're okay with no cheese?
Yeah, actually, at the beginning of this episode, we had a sponsor, Stockout Dreamery, some of the best vegan cheese on the market. You got to try some. Yes. It's been difficult, though, to find a cheese that is good. But considering it triggers the same portion of your brain as heroin. Not saying like cheese is heroin, but the casein in cheese, like, triggers the same addiction.
I mean, that's fine. I'm addicted to pizza.
Yeah.
So makes sense.
I eat vegan pizza almost on the reg when I'm down there in Greenwich Village.
I will try vegan pizza.
It's good. Try artistic pizza. I don't know if you went there for like a regular slice, but their vegan slice is pretty good. But yeah, cheese for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It's been, that's been something that anytime I tell people I'm vegan, That's the thing they say. Would that be the thing that would drive
you
back?
That would be it for me, because like I can go without meat. I don't eat a lot of meat. I'll eat chicken. But I think it's just cheese. I think that really is it for me. I don't eat eggs often. No. So that's it. And then I guess vegan, you can still eat all the bread, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would...
It's just the cheese, the eggs, and then chicken or steak is really the main things, and butter too. There's butter in a lot of things.
I mean, olive oil's fine.
Yeah. Olive oil in the pasta.
Yeah.
Red sauce.
The cheese would, that would hurt.
Yeah. That's unless what they say.
I tried the cheese feels, I think I tried a vegan pizza when I was in North Carolina, and it just felt like the cheese was creamy. It didn't feel like melty, like a true mozzarella. Okay, whatever. So,
but you never felt sick from it? You're always cool. Like, you're okay when you eat cheese?
I think I'm good.
Yeah. Some people just say, I remember we had Levi White on the podcast. I'm not sure if you know him, but he just like had to stop eating cheese because he was so severely lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
But
it's
so part of American culture. It's just like eating cheese all the time and then drinking milk with dinner, or at least it was when we were growing up.
Yeah, drinking milk. Are you still doing it? Not
anymore, especially being vegan. But yeah, the fat glass of cold milk with dinner, like I would always be drinking that, you know?
My dad wish I drank more milk.
Yeah, protein. To make your bones stronger, like, right?
You're not jacked.
Yeah, and that's just it's just not the case, you know? We learn new things every, whatever it is, like 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, so it's good for you.
Thank you. And hopefully you'll try the vegan cheese pizza.
I will. Next time. Is it near?
It's across the street from Fat Black Pussy. Yeah, like right there. It's pretty good. It's pretty solid.
I will try it.
And the guys that work there are pretty friendly. They're funny.
I love pizza, so I'll try all types of pizza. I love deep dish. I love everything.
Where's your... Okay, and you're from Illinois.
Yeah, so... But Emmett's in... I'm a big fan of Emmett's in Greenwich Village.
Where's that?
It's a Chicago guy that started... I'll make Google. It's deep dish.
Emmett's. What's
but you're not gonna have it. I don't think you're doing a vegan deep dish. What's the point of even chatting about it?
Yeah. No, but it's in Greenwich Village and it's near the comedy clubs. I think I've seen it.
Yeah, it's right. It's near there. And then they have they opened up one. Emmett's on the on Grove. They do it's called tavern style pizza. Like it's Midwest. It's still Midwest themed. So it's like paper, little square pizza. Yeah.
Where is better pizza though? Chicago.
Or deep, where is, yeah, oh wait, yeah, where's Chicago, better pizza? I don't think you can compare it. I think thin crust versus, I love deep dish though.
Okay.
I really do. Like I crave it.
How often do you have pizza?
I try to stick to once a week.
Oh, that's not that much. But what do you have, the whole pie when you eat it?
I eat so much. Yeah. But now stand up has ruined it for me. I used to be more disciplined, but I love it late night.
I was going to say there's nothing better than a 12 a.m. vegan pizza slice.
But I I don't know if you do. I don't mean to do it.
It just happens.
But I do. I think I kind of naturally intermittent fast. I don't really like eating a lot before a show.
Me too.
So I don't like feeling full or stuffed, but that's bad because then I'm eating at midnight.
Yeah. I never understand when I see comedians eating 5 minutes before their set. They're stuffing their face.
I'm tired. Then you get tired.
Last night we had a show and I didn't eat before it. And the show was at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah. I much prefer to eat after. I just feel so much more clear minded.
Yeah.
I just feel and it's like exciting. Sloggy.
I get excited.
Oh yeah.
I love.
Have you eaten today?
I did.
Okay.
Because I would.
Me too. Yeah. Usually I wouldn't though before a pod, but I was just so hungry since I also didn't eat like until super late last night, so I didn't eat as much.
Thought like I didn't want to come in like low energy.
But it wouldn't make you higher energy though. It sometimes makes me higher energy and more clear focus.
To eat, like, to not eat.
To not eat.
Yeah, it depends, I mean, I did. I don't know. Here's the thing.
Look, I have black coffee too. Is that black?
This is iced tea, and I did pick this up on the way because I was like, "Oh shit, maybe I shouldn't have ate," because I got tired. So I quickly picked this up.
Sometimes, yeah.
So it is a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
But I do. If I drink this is gonna sound lame and bougie, but like an oat milk latte is kind of. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. What do you want me to do?
It makes you tired, or
it's no? Just, I like that, and that can suppress my like food craving. For hours.
Interesting.
Because with the oat milk, I feel like it fills you up. Okay.
The black coffee does that for me. Like I drink my coffee black without the oat milk.
It's too acidic.
Really?
I never drank. Did you drink coffee playing tennis? Like, because it just dehydrates.
Yeah, not really, I guess. Now that I'm thinking about it, I didn't really have access to it. You know, like being in the dorms or being in the campus.
I used to housing. Very, I don't know about you, but I was very prone to cramping.
Oh, you super needed a lot of bananas on the court?
I went to the hospital when I was in high school and during like our states, and I literally went
full body cramp.
There was over 100 degrees and on a hard court, it's like plus 10
in Boston,
in Andover, Massachusetts. Yeah, Andover. And I just finished the match, but I fell to the ground. Every part of my body was Charlie horsing, every single part. And I had to go to the hospital and get IV'd up.
No,
And it's
did
like
they carry you like on a stretcher.
I went in, they called an ambulance, and I went in the. And I had to, it was bad. And I had a few of those. I was very prone to cramping. I probably need to hydrate more. I still need to hydrate today. I'm not good at hydrating. The water could be, look, there's water. I haven't taken a sip.
Yeah, right?
It'll be right there and I won't take a sip.
Did this happen during college at all?
Less, I think, because I was probably in better shape. Yeah. I think I was probably, with all the practice, chugging the Gatorades and just, there was like no way to get around it, right?
Were there any fitness challenges that you had to complete at Illinois?
Yes. All of us just so nauseous by the idea of it. I don't know what yours was, but so we'd always get there 2 weeks before school started. You're doing all the trainings. And we had this one sprint endurance test that everyone had to pass. And
200, 100, 200.
It was like, it was on a football, like if you think of a football field, it was like, 9 sets of like every set had like 5 different sprints. It was the worst. It was the worst. And you could only like fail. So say there's like 9 sets. Each set had, it's like the beep test. You know, that soccer players did
just like quick.
You have sprints. To basically get back before the, sure. Yeah. So if there's 9 sets, there's probably like maybe 5 to 6 different types of sprints in each one. And you could only miss 2. So two, like if you,
but what happened if you miss more, they kick you off the team, like the Russian girl,
just have to keep doing it every morning at 6 a.m.
You do it.
Yeah, it was the worst. It really is.
That was the thing at the really high level Division I programs. Like I remember I was going to visit Indiana and I heard that you needed like a 5:15 mile and the fastest I'd ever done was 5:34 and I was dying afterwards. And I was like, I can't do 5:15 mile. How are the facilities at Illinois? Awesome. Have they redone anything tennis related recently or no?
I think they probably have. I haven't been back in a while, but we had a great center. I mean, you have the men's, you know, budget too, right?
Yeah.
Number one in the country. No, we had a great indoor facility.
We went to Hartford to play indoor tennis, which is like 30 minutes away. We didn't have indoor facility. Yeah. The women's team now is consistently getting better because they have a number of scholarships. But I would imagine that it would just need to be a donor that, you know, shells out like a few million dollars to build that facility, like indoors. Because like our outdoor facility is fine.
No, it was really nice balcony seating.
And you'd host probably national events there too, tennis wise.
I think we indoors might have hosted the team NCAAs 1 year. We used to host a men's challenger.
Oh yeah, year. Yeah, yeah. Does that still happen?
I don't know, but they would make us ball girl for them. I hated it.
Wait, why?
It was part of like even the guys would have to ball girl or ball boy, whatever.
But free too.
It was part of like. Giving back to the community tennis. And I hated it. I don't like it when you sit in the back and then you get nailed by a serve.
Yeah. Did you ever ball boy or ball girl besides that? I did team tennis. Oh, did you really?
Yes. With Andre Agassi.
Did Ojama?
Anna Kournikova.
Anna.
I think, who else was there? I remember her. Yeah.
Where was that? Chicago?
Elton John was there.
And Billie Jean King was at World
Tennis.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. She was, yeah. It was somewhere in Boston. I can't remember. It was,
But that was when I was like 12 or 13.
Right, right, yeah.
Not I remember when I was
taking
at college.
A picture with Andre.
That's, I can't believe they made you do that.
You think it's abuse?
Yes. Full ride. We're not going to pay you. So you're going to go run for the balls. How about now? I'll go run the 400 meters.
Non-athletes always used to be like, ooh, my tuition's paying for your, I was like, well, all right.
NARPs.
What to tell you.
Non-athletic regular person. That's what we call them. Well, NARPs.
Are you, I don't know why you're saying that to me.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah. Like you worked very hard to get to that position.
Yeah.
Those NARPs should chill out. Yeah. For real. Come to our tennis match. We're giving free pizza. That ever happen with you guys? You give out free pizza at the tennis matches?
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I don't remember.
I remember there were times when like some of my boys would ask me like, when are you giving out like free t-shirts and like free pizzas and stuff? And sometimes I would just say that we're going to do it just to get my boys to come. But like it didn't happen.
Yeah, they need really to wake up and not be hungover. Because the way you early match, sometimes it literally,
like 9 a.m. Saturday or Sunday.
You gotta come support. Do you follow a lot of professional tennis?
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Not a lot, but like all the Grand Slams and maybe some of thousands events. Mm-hmm. Like I'll go to the U.S. Open, obviously, every year. And then when, at some point in high school, I went to Indian Wells, and that was fun. When like Rafael Nadal and Djokovic were 19 and 20, something like that. That was cool to see that.
Yeah. Did you ever play like Easter Bowl? In Palm Springs?
No, I played Copper Bowl and the Winter Nationals.
Copper Bowl is in Arizona.
But I never played Easter Bowl.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I went out there for like a week and a half.
Yeah.
That was insane.
Was it Tucson?
Yeah.
Yep.
Tucson. And they stayed at the Best Western. There was like a group of 10 of us that went with two coaches. And I remember we ordered like a huge ice cream bowl at dinner. And the coaches like, well, they left us there. And then they came back at like a crazy time. And then as they came back, the waiters were coming out with like fried ice cream. And then afterwards, we had to run so much in the parking lot because they were pissed at us for ordering ice cream.
Eating?
During the... Yeah, I think that was the point.
Our worst was, did you go spring breaks? Like, you know...
Yes.
Okay.
Puerto Rico, San Diego.
Puerto Rico. Uh-huh. Fun places, but we were doing 2 days.
Yeah. It wasn't not really fun. Like spring break, yeah.
And I remember we played Princeton. Princeton, UNC was there. And we were not supposed to lose to Princeton. You know, and we did.
I imagine probably weren't supposed to lose to any Ivy Leagues being Illinois.
Yeah, 4-3 or something. That was like the one night we were going to have to like hang out and chill. And so pissed. Coach was so pissed, you know, threw shit around to cause a scene in our huddle. And our trainer was there with us next day, said, 6 a.m. running. We were doing, and Puerto Rico had these, where we were staying, like all the hills. So we were just like, every hill was had to sprint. And it is what it is. Don't lose to Princeton.
Yeah,
this is the moral of the story.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
But you probably had this like punishment stuff.
Yeah. It was crazy. But college tennis was, I'd say it was a great experience. I learned a lot. And playing tennis, I think was a good experience. It prepared me for the life of realizing that good or bad, it's your fault.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Same with stand up, right? Kinda.
No, I agree. Shivani, thanks so much for coming
on.
Before we get out of here, we're popping up your Instagram right here. Let us know where we can find you in New York City. This will be out this Thursday. So today is Tuesday. If you have anything this weekend or anything coming up at the end of March, April, please let us know.
I'll be at Rodney's tonight, and then I co-host and produce a show called Top 5 Comedy at St. Mark's Comedy Club, March 23rd.
It's
monthly. So
and you have that link in your bio, your Instagram bio.
Yeah, Shivani Dave spelled like Dave _.
Love it. And your husband's name is also Dave.
Yeah.
Love it.
Dave goes Dave.
Shivani, thanks so much for coming on the pod. Guys, we had such a great episode. As you can see, I love tennis. Shivani loves tennis. What a conversation of topics. Guys, we'll see you next time. Peace.